The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio. And now, Carl and Linda Bott. This is Free Fire Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Free Fire Radio here in the studios of KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio with Carl and Linda Bott. Hey, good morning, everybody. It is Wednesday, the 4th of May, 2022, 7:05.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, 7:05 in the morning. And the news brought to you by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center is the number one hospital around here. So healing starts there. Jared's at the helm, I think. Jared, you're there.
I am. Good morning.
Good morning. Jared's training Liam. So, but
good morning, guys.
It's always good to hear Jared's dulcet tones in the morning. What national day is it today?
Bird Day. If you're a Star Wars fan, it's May the 4th. Because it sounds like May the 4th be with you.
Oh. May the 4th be with you. Got it.
Sounds like a two-year-old with the teeth. You know, May the 4th be with you. Sunny today with a high of 89. Overnight lows tonight at 59. Tomorrow calls for, which is Thursday, Cinco de Mayo day. Chance of showers with a high of 73. Thursday night, overnight lows of 57. Friday, showers likely with a high of 74. And looks like overnight lows with chance of showers. Friday night at 51. Saturday, chance of showers and sunny. Boy, do we welcome these showers. With a high of 72 and overnight lows of 46. Sunday, once again, showers likely. Let's see. There you go. So it looks like we've got sun and showers, but we'll take all that rain that we can get. The weather is bright to you. I always... Shasta Gas Propane, located out in Anderson, the Kinney family, locally owned, where they do give senior and veteran discounts. 365-3793. Well, good morning, everybody. It is like May 4th, as Carl said, and there's things to talk about in the headlines, but what I would like to bring up with you, Carl, is I was talking and I brought this up on the, and I'm doing a call out to our listeners, because if somebody knows, please do call in. I was talking about how our homeless encampments are encroaching here on us once again, and what do we do about this problem? Because I see how my beloved Sacramento, what's happened downtown at Sacramento, bring this up a lot. The Sacramento Music Circus and the, you know, the theater company down by the Capitol, and how it's become just it's just so out of hand, and it's drastically changed. Well, driving through the Cypress Square, that's your barber shop, but over there, the Cypress car wash, where you get the full car wash, I wanted to have it armored inside and out. You could see this activity with a full-on face right there on top of the canal, of the berm.
Yeah.
And people going in and out, and the lady saying this is that usually they move them along. Well, yesterday, the reason I'm getting here is I drove by yesterday on Cypress, and I saw bag after bag after bag, like they were lined up on top of the walkway in the berm, like they possibly were going to move them. Somebody went in and cleaned them out. So will somebody call me if they know, or call us this morning on the morning show, 605-4567. You don't have to give your name or whatever. I'd like to know what activity is happening there. Do you have the inside?
It could be.
Scoop.
It could be a couple of things. One, the police did come down there. And in fact, Reading Police Department will be with us this morning. We can ask them about that.
Oh, okay, great.
Or it could be one of our local angel groups that goes down and just cleans these camps out and takes out tons of trash, but that's usually after they move. I mean, tons of trash. Chief Schuler had statistics on the thousands of tons of trash his teams are taken out by either his people or other people every year out of these encampments. But it's going to be interesting, because this month I've already scheduled 12 people to be on this month. That are running for supervisor, that are running for other offices here. and, you know, to talk about this, you know, this homeless thing. I mean, you know, every one of them has run, and everybody comes through here. Everybody that's run has said one thing, public safety and homelessness. And I can't, you can't convince me that it's gotten better over the last 8 years.
Here's what I believe, and it's not one person. It's a village. It's not one institution. It's a group of people. What do we do? Okay, we've watched this in Chico where they've actually cleared some land. If you want to live in a tent and that's your choice, do it over here with sanitary conditions. Here's porta potties. In fact, I didn't really go any deeper into that coverage that they did on one of the news programs just as of late, where they had created this, you know, environment for people. You wish to live in a tent, that's your, if for those people who decide to make it a choice. But for, I can imagine the owners of the car wash and people that are working there, actually that day was quite a long line, and I just figured I'd just buck up and return calls and texts and stuff like that while I was waiting. I was almost 2 hours there. Anyway, once you get into that line going through, you know there's no backing up. There's no moving forward. You're in that line to go through. And so I watched the whole thing as if I was watching, like, a series. And there was a woman that was, like, scantily clad. She was really, everything was hanging out. And I thought, what are we going to, the next thing is going to be they're going to have sex right in front of us. I mean, the dog, the whole thing. I mean, I was like, where are they going to the bathroom? There was a cooler. You know, it was like, unfolding right before our eyes. Then I saw two guys coming up on bikes with their backpacks going over the berm, then under the trees, so you couldn't even see that part, but you saw it. Once you, your eyes got adjusted to what was going on, then you saw all the lean-tos, all the coverings, all of that. Then the activity started to begin. And I was there for 2 hours, so I saw several people coming and going. And then they were walking across Cypress into where the library park is. And I can guarantee you, I love the library. We've supported the library. But a lot of people won't go to the library these days because of the homeless situation. So what do we have to do so that we can get back this feeling of being safe? And why is it that when we see a homeless encampment, we don't feel safe? What is the psychology behind that? As if
maybe you need to go down to a homeless camp and walk into it and talk to the people and see how you feel, see about them. Because you're right. It's, we look at it and there's this fear. You know, whether it's an overt fear or just like, geez, you know, I mean, you know, that people that are wandering the streets, some of them screaming, some of them stumbling and shambling. There are people out there that are homeless, as you pointed out, that, you know, they just ran into some bad luck and are trying to get out of that. Other people are there because they have mental illnesses, either, organic or caused by drugs. And then there's people who just like that type of lifestyle.
But what I'm saying is, why don't you go with me then?
Oh, I would.
Because I'm not going by myself.
Oh no, I would. And in fact, you know,
I'm sorry, but usually
Dave,
when there's
Dave and
when there's drugs involved, there's violence.
There could be.
And if you're threatening somebody's place of business.
I'm not going
business,
down there. I'm not going down there. It's too dangerous.
Well,
no, no.
You just sent your wife to the wolves.
I would go with you, and I'd bring friends, Jared and Liam, and bring them with me. Sue, Diane, we'd all go down there. But here's the thing on that is Dave, as you know, and Dale, and many others gotten letters and emails from people.
Dave
the Indian.
He likes to be called that.
In the Henderson Open Space, which now is another name, but I don't know what it is. Henderson Open Space there. They've been complaining for years that their life has changed because of the, you know, that, of the people squatting back there. They hear everything from chainsaws to fireworks.
No, I mean, they're literally on their backyard, on their door.
That's
on
right.
On their house.
That's right. And they've complained about that. And every so often, the police go down there and sweep through there. However, you know, they've tried to put gates up there to keep people from driving down. I mean, this problem has been going on for years now. And what's been done? I mean, we as citizens can complain. We as citizens can go down and see the city council and say, well, what about this? Why haven't you done something? And, you know, oh, we're going to build some tiny houses or we're starting this. Well, you know, maybe that is the answer.
Well, could somebody give us a call at 605-4567 if you've got something that you've seen or heard where there's movement? I don't care if it's forward, backward, sideways. I want to know.
We'll ask the Redding Police Department today when he comes in. It won't be a fair question. We'll ask him and then give him a chance to find out.
All right.
Because this may not be his segment. You know, this isn't his division, maybe. But let's ask. Hey, this portion of the show brought to you by Alaska Airlines. You can fly daily nonstop from Redding to Seattle with Alaska Airlines. And with one stop, get anywhere in the world. That's right. Enjoy a cool weekend in the Pacific Northwest or fly to Seattle to take that Alaskan cruise. Book now at AlaskaAirlines.com/Redding. And did we enjoy the Alaska cruise?
Loved it.
Loved it. We'll be right back.
Kevin Cry is running for Shasta County Supervisor to address the homelessness and property crime in our community. By acting compassionately but demanding accountability, he knows we can reduce crime, restore our public spaces to the use of all, and help less fortunate residents live their best lives possible. What we are currently doing isn't working, and as Supervisor for District 1, Kevin Cry's priority will be to fight to end homelessness in Shasta County, not sweep its core problems under the rug. Paid for by the Liberty Committee, not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee.
Shasta County, there's a candidate for District 5 Supervisor in Cottonwood named Chris Kellstrom. Chris is a lifetime member of the NRA and belongs to the California Rifle and Pistol Association. Chris Kellstrom cares about the Second Amendment rights and will do everything in his power to protect those rights in District 5 and all of Shasta County. Remember Chris Kellstrom for District 5, head and shoulders above the rest. Paid for by the Liberty Committee, not authorized by any other candidate or candidates committee.
Wind River Resort and Casino is offering free seatings at our fabulous Mother's Day brunch on Sunday, May 8th, beginning at 9 a.m.
Seatings every 2 hours.
Buffet includes an array of sides and desserts, along with our signature omelet steak and prime rib. Serve the side all-you-can-eat crab. Let us do all the preparing as you celebrate the mothers in your life.
Reservations highly suggested.
Book online at windriver.com or by calling 1-800-280-UWIN. For complete menu prices and seating, download the Wind River app and find your moment at Wind River Resort and Casino.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wayne Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
H-J, come out and play. Have you seen the bill? We all have to pay. The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson State of Mind.
For over 50 years, House of Realty has provided experienced and effective advice to its real estate clients. Experts in residential, commercial, and investment property, we have the knowledge and tools to assist you with all of your real estate needs. Family owned and operated since 1965, we have been an active part of the Shasta County community for generations. Please call House of Realty today at 241-8300. A reputation for excellence since 1965.
If SB 1464 passes the California legislature, it will require law enforcement to enforce all public health orders, whether they agree with health orders or not. We cannot let that happen to our community. Kevin Cry is running for Shasta County Supervisor, District 1, to make sure our communities are safe from tyranny. We all live in this community together, and we cannot allow for one group to be pulled into harassing another. We must stand together, and we must vote for Kevin Cry for Supervisor, District 1. Paid for by the Liberty Committee, not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee.
My name is Vincent Eugene Allen. I'm a doctor and businessman running for insurance commissioner, and I approve this message.
Doctor. Vincent Eugene Allen was born in Cleveland, Mississippi, raised by his grandmother, Rosia H. Miller. After completing medical school in West Virginia, Dr. Allen began caring for patients in Los Angeles. Businessman, Vincent Eugene Allen and his wife, Dr. Connie U. Allen, operate 7 urgent care clinics across Los Angeles, seeing thousands of patients and providing high-paying jobs to the community. Community leader, Vincent Eugene Allen was on the front lines of the pandemic, providing food for the quarantine and medical services for the community. He and his family continue to hold charitable events in their community. Vote Vincent Eugene Allen for Insurance Commissioner. Doctor, not politician. Paid for by Dr. Allen for Insurance Commissioner 2022, FPPC ID 143-9485.
Are you reeling in the east? Stowing away the time.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios at KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. Your talk radio with Carl and the Bot. Phone lines here are 605-4567. We got open line until 8 o'clock. Today, 7:21 in the morning and 58 degrees already?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, beautiful. It's going up to 90 today. Hey, this portion of the show brought to you by B&T Satellite. B&T Satellite is Redding's dish premier local retailer, providing our area with the best value, service, and technology in TV for over 30 years. That's right, Doug Tooley. Don't call the 800 number. Call Doug at 241-3474. If you want to get the best in entertainment and somebody that's local that's going to take care of you, that's Doug Tooley and B&T Satellite. Okay, Karen Ramstrom, Dr. Karen Ramstrom, fired yesterday by the Board of Supervisors on a 3-2 vote. The 3-2 vote was voting to fire her was Patrick Jones and Les Ball and Tim Garman. The voting to keep her was Joe Comente and Mary Rickert. This was not a surprise. This thing was coming up. Dr. Ramstrom was fighting it, and the said she's not, you know, she's not surprised, and she was with everything that's been going on, and has been preparing. So she was fired. Why was she fired? And it'll be interesting to get Garman or Patrick on to talk about that. But it appears as that they did not feel that Dr. Ramstrom had did enough, had done enough to push back against state measures, draconian state measures that didn't, you know, that didn't affect us up here. I'm sorry, I shouldn't say it. When we were under a completely different level of COVID than the rest of the state was, I'm sure there were other issues that they kept talking about. But she was one of the targets of it. Unfortunately, she was also threatened.
And that's just a shame.
Verbally assaulted. Yeah. And all these things.
People are flipping out over this whole thing. Yeah. That does not still give any kind of
people.
Permission.
Yeah,
no.
You don't threaten people for that. That's just absolutely ridiculous. Let's go to the phones. Dolores, good morning.
Good morning, Carl, Linda. I was calling in, calling to maybe make a suggestion regarding the homeless. You know, it sounds like if you guys do decide to go speak to homeless, you know, maybe you ought to interview them live like you do with other people when you go out there and really get it from them, you know, their point of view, why they're there, and that way instead of hearing from the third party, you know, because they're the ones who know why they're there, why they're homeless.
You know what?
That's a good idea.
That is a good idea. You know, do we set up a remote out there at one of the camps and have them just come on? I mean, you know, and Jared would have to be on top of the delete button. I'd have Overwatch from trees. But no, you know, I'm just kidding about that. But that's probably not a bad idea to go out there and just record them. Why are you out here?
Yeah, because I spoke to a couple of them before, and in some of them even, you know, they're nice people. They're just there because they're you know, they had a home or they were sick or they got kicked out. There's always a story
of course.
Why people are there.
You know, you're right. So, and Dolores, sometimes we look at a group.
Yes, that's right.
We look at a group. And you think because there are problems with homeless, there are, you know, we have crime, but they're all not like that. And we have said that before, but probably not enough. So that's a good point. And you know what? I'm going to see which one of our staff wants to go out and do that.
I'm sure they will be, you know, they will be glad that you will be going out there and asking them because we all talk about them, what we should do with them and try to be alive. Make decisions for them. Why don't we ask them what they
you know? And most of us, you know, and most of us, our interaction is with those people that are having mental problems.
Yeah.
In the sense of we see them walking down the street talking to themselves. We've had several people come in here that they're not violent. So don't misunderstand me on that, but they have severe mental problems. You know, they walk in off the street here, and that's the ones usually that you deal with. But there are, as we have said many times, and other people have said, there's people out there just down on their luck.
Absolutely. So there's again, as a community, we have to figure out how we can help those people because when one becomes 20, becomes 50. But thank you for your call, Dolores.
That was a good idea,
right.
Dolores. Thank you.
So we have a friend that lives on the river and a beautiful home on the river. And every time she takes a walk over what is considered to be a park, public park, she'll go in there and there'll be a new encampment. And then she'll call somebody on city council or
board of supervisors.
And then there's been times it's been cleaned out. But then within a day or two or a week, they're back in there. And the problem is when I say they, again, yes, this is what's coming out of my mouth as they. We only know that encroaches on your feeling of, well, first of all, she's been ripped off twice. She knows she's been watched. Professionals, somehow, whoever watched, were able to come in, smash and grab. So twice it's happened.
Knew when they left.
Yes, and it's happened twice. And they live in a beautiful neighborhood on the river twice. They've been, that kind of thing. And then our friend we talked about earlier, Dave, that whole line of houses on that street. I mean, Carl, I don't know at what point you don't become wickedly out of your mind from not being able to live in your home.
And feel safe.
It's like having zombies on your back door. Like, if you turn a certain way, you're gonna get, when you watch Walking Dead. That's what I mean. You know, they're showering in your hot tub. That's your private property.
Well, yeah, like that guy said, he came back from his vacation in another place and said that he had found out, first of all, he has to lock everything up with chains and locks and extra locks. They came back after a long weekend and found out that their hot tub had been used as a bathing facility for that God knows how many people.
Well,
okay, I'm laughing about it only because of the way you said it, all right? Not because it happened, but, you know, do you have to drain your hot tub when you leave?
Don't know. But as we enter a new stage, this is another news. As we enter a new stage of the pandemic, companies are grappling with the reality that many people prefer working remotely and may even quit their jobs if they're not given enough flexibility. In fact, Americans' mass exodus from the place of work, dubbed the Great Resignation, resulted in a record of 4.5 million workers quitting their jobs in March.
Wow. In March?
In March.
Well, you know, here's the thing, before we take our break. Our younger generation, and this is not an indictment on our younger generation at all, they can work. Many of them can work remote. And so what's become more important than money is the freedom to be able to do these things. They may take less pay, but then they can live for 3 months up in Vail or Idaho, mm-hmm. someplace where they can ski. And then they go to another place for another 3 or 4 months. I mean, they can still work, but it's important for them to have the freedom to do that. Where before you got into a job, And as in, you know, in the Greatest Generation time, you worked there for 30 years, got your retirement, blah, 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 blah. Now, that whole concept has changed, and COVID was the kickstarter on that one. So, we have to take a quick break. This portion of the show brought to you by Cornerstone Community Bank. Been in the business 15 years. It's hard to believe they've been around 15 years, except we went to their 15th year anniversary party, and it was great. They've got four branches now. It's a locally owned bank, local board of directors. The names on their board of directors are familiar to probably everybody in town. And they've been moving local dreams forward since the day they opened. That's Cornerstone Community Bank. You can learn more at bankcornerstone.com. We'll be right back. We want to talk about the Roe versus Wade leak at the Supreme Court.
For years, Shasta County residents have been plagued by homeless encampments, property crimes, and illegal marijuana grows. As a father and grandfather, I get frustrated hearing our current elected officials pass the buck on these persistent problems. We need new leadership, and we need it now. That's why I'm voting Eric Jensen for district attorney. Eric is an experienced attorney from outside the political establishment. Eric supports law enforcement, building a more adequate local jail, and working alongside the community to make Shasta County safe again. It's time for real leadership. It's time for Eric Jensen.
This ad paid for by the Liberty Committee, not endorsed by any candidate or candidates committee.
Hello, Shasta County. My name is Chris Kellstrom, and I'm running for District 5 Supervisor. I am not a career politician, nor do I ever want to be. In fact, when I'm elected, I will immediately push for term limits for the Shasta County Board, the current board, as well as future boards. County politics should not be a career move. Overseeing a safe, frugal, friendly, and efficient county government should be seen as a civic duty, not a decades-long employment strategy. A vote for Chris Kellstrom is a vote for term limits and a more efficient, friendly county government. This ad paid for by the committee to elect Chris Kellstrom, Shasta County Supervisor, District 5. Hey, Shasta County, Chris Kellstrom here, your District 5 candidate. Money is important in today's elections, and I'm happy to report that I have raised more money than any other candidate in Shasta County, and all without a single maximum amount contribution. I've been supported by a grassroots We the People group of friends and family, and I thank each and every one of them. We the People is exactly who I will answer to. Please remember Chris Kellstrom when it's time to vote this June. I will represent the people, not big donors and special interest groups. This ad paid for by the committee to elect Chris Kellstrom, District 5 Supervisor.
This is Baron Browning. I'm running for Shasta County Supervisor to make sure the worst wildfires we faced stay in the past. Like you, I've witnessed the aftermath of fires, millions of dollars in destruction of property, endless loss of natural beauty, and the needless lives of heroes taken. No one should have to live in fear their home will burn down. With your vote, we'll combat wildfire together.
Paid for by the committee to elect Baron Browning for Supervisor 2022.
Hi, this is Chuck Kenny with Shasta Gas Propane. It's been a while since I've cut a new radio spot, but I feel I need to issue a warning about energy prices during this fall-winter of 2021 and 22. Just as Obama said after he was elected, elections have consequences. This winter, our country will suffer some of the consequences of the last election. I'm not a politician, but I am a businessman, and many of the decisions of this current administration will drastically affect energy prices this winter and going forward. Already, we are experiencing record high propane costs and prices. Remember, our motto at Shasta Gas Propane is, "Our customers are warm friends." We will treat you like friends this winter and do our best to help you through this high-priced winter. Give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793.
Voter fraud is a hot topic these days, with certain voting machines at the center of the conversation. As voters, we need a voting system we can trust. Our current county clerk believes these leased voting machines are trustworthy and plans to use them for the next 5 years. We need a new county clerk that will work to replace these machines with one of 8 California-approved alternatives. Vote Bob Holsinger for Shasta County Clerk on June 7th. Paid for by the Liberty Committee, not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee.
For years, Shasta County residents have been plagued by homeless encampments, property crimes, and illegal marijuana grows. I get frustrated hearing our current elected officials pass the buck on these persistent problems. We need new leadership, and we need it now. That's why I'm voting for Eric Jensen for district attorney. Eric is an experienced attorney from outside the political establishment. Eric supports law enforcement, building a better local jail, and working alongside the community to make Shasta County safe again. It's time for real leadership. It's time for Eric Jensen. Paid for by the Liberty Committee, not authorized by any candidate or a candidate's committee.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios of KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. Hey, this portion of the show brought to you by Crackmaster Windshield Repair. Jeff Wurst is a master windshield repair specialist. He's not going to take any chances on your safety. No, he can fix that small chip before it turns into a large crack or a crack over 2 feet in length. That's right, and he guarantees his work. He doesn't fool around with your safety or your family's safety. He believes in doing the job correctly. If you want to get your windshield repaired by a master craftsman, then you go to Crackmaster Windshield Repair. Head on down to 3208 South Market Street for a free inspection and analysis, or give him a call at 241-8373. Okay, yesterday, In a huge leak from the Supreme Court, first time it's ever happened, an opinion that was written by Justice Alito was leaked to Politico, to the press, and it was about Roe versus Wade. And the immediate scream was heard across the United States. They're doing away. Now see what they do, and as Justice Roberts said in a kind of an unprecedented press release, said, because of our commitment to our court and the commitment to the sanctity of the court, that the, you know, this was just, this is something that never happened, has never happened before. The big thing on this is that people immediately assumed that Roe versus Wade is being, overturned. Okay, so everybody take a deep breath, because this is what it is. The justices will pass around their briefs, their opinions to each other. So, like, here's my opinion.
Right.
I'm Justice Bott, and you're Justice Bott. So, this Justice Bott is sending my opinion to you. Now, you may have a totally different opinion on it, but I'm sending to you my opinion why Roe versus Wade should be overturned. That does not mean that you sign on with this.
Yeah,
this
why?
Is not the final opinion.
Right, right.
Yet people are going crazy. They're being stupid crazy over this. But the worst thing is, for the first time, this was leaked by somebody. There's only 35 people that could do this. And Justice Roberts has said he is launching an investigation by the marshal of the court.
Yeah.
And
I mean, maybe everybody should be on suspension.
This is...
Everybody.
Well, see, here's what happens is each justice has some really hot shot...
Right. Attorneys.
Well, no, I'm going to call them interns that work
clerks.
For them.
Right.
They're what?
Clerks.
Clerks.
Okay,
thank you. That's the word. That clerks that work for each justice who do a lot of the research, you know, and do a lot of the early writing you know, these kind of things. And do the, because the justice will say, hey, look, I want to look at this case, I want to look at these. They go out and do that.
Was this cocktail conversation perhaps one clerk?
No, no, they, somebody, one of the clerks, it appears, one of the clerks leaked this on purpose, because it's an opinion of one justice out of nine.
Was it, okay, here's my question, and I'm sure this is further investigation. Again, leaking would have been cocktail conversation along, like, after work or something with somebody else, and I can't believe I'm working on this, or whatever they feel, their opinion.
That's one thing.
That's one thing. Was it in print?
Yes.
Something they wrote?
They leaked the opinion.
All right.
that was written in word.
Okay, now see, that is a crime, in my opinion.
Well, it is a crime. And now, this has been, you know, people that leak information.
You've sworn an oath. Haven't you sworn an oath if you're going to be working for the highest Supreme Court to work alongside and
yes.
work for
you
them?
You sign things, I'm sure, that says you're not going to leak information because they wouldn't want you there if you say, I'm not going to sign that because I think if I want to, I can just send this out. So the bottom line on this is that all these people, they're having riots, they're having demonstrations and all this. Of course, the Hollywood group has come in and now they're talking about, oh, we gotta pack the court. Oh, it's a bunch of white racists on the court. And when you look at the court, the court's not like that. It's women on the court. I mean, it's so stupid. It is so stupid. But here's the thing. Because somebody felt that this opinion, one opinion out of nine, needed to be leaked, which has caused all this consternation, but the only thing it does say is, it doesn't say abortions are illegal in the United States. What it says is Roe versus Wade. The Roe versus Wade decision was not constitutional, and the right to abortion or the abortion question should be pushed back to the states and not be a federal law. It's not a law. It's just an opinion from a court. So if you want to have this, then it should be at the state level. Now, people are now tying that into, well, that means that the next thing is they're going to say gays can't get married. Well, it doesn't say that. And, again, they're piling on with people are piling on before literally, waiting for the decision, which is going to happen in June or July. So, but people seem to thought, oh, well, he's writing the opinion for the court. No, it's just one opinion out of nine. It's a betrayal.
It's a total betrayal. So I think the one bad apple then needs to be, I don't know what you do when you're in the middle of, moving forward the Justice Department, moving forward with other issues that they're involved with.
I'm sure they could have leaked.
And you have no idea at that point
what
the
thinking.
Unsteadiness. Yeah. Of the people around you.
Now they're not going to. Now there's a lack of trust. Let's go to the phones. Randall, good morning.
Hey, Carl. I want to correct one. It's not such a minor error, but you said twice that it's the opinion of one justice. That is the draft majority opinion after discussion. They heard the case in December, then they all sit around the table and they discuss it, and they make a decision. Of, the majority opinion, and then they assign one judge to write that majority opinion. So it's not just Alioto's opinion. It's not one judge. That is the draft, indeed the draft, and it can be changed, and they have been changed in the past, but that's the draft opinion of the majority of the court.
Okay, well, but I also am just reading what Justice Roberts says, that he said, that these opinions are handed around and it doesn't.
That's my point. But
this thing can be changed.
Yeah, this is what they agreed to in the meeting, and then they come around and look at it, and then they might change their mind, and they have in the past. And this isn't the first time this has ever been leaked. They were leaked a couple times in the first Roe versus Wade, but not like this.
Yeah,
this is a dramatic leak and extraordinarily inappropriate and doesn't.
Well, what
doesn't
it does
help
is Linda had a good point. Now. The trust has just been, it's kind of like, it's been breached. Now they've got to wonder, it's happened once. Is it going to happen over and over again?
Because a clerk may
disagree with it and go, I think everybody needs to know this. I mean, then what happens?
Yeah, it wasn't just, it was a very purposeful leak and inappropriate. No matter which side you're on, it's inappropriate for you to have done that.
So. You've
That's right.
I don't know, some people may hero worship that. Others, I would think that if you have been taken into the sacred space, that you've defiled in a certain sense, and I think it should be very much punished.
This is a career-ending exercise for whoever did it, because they're all young lawyers. They swear to, you know, the oaths and to keep it secret. And would you hire that person in your law firm if you've known they had done this?
Of course not.
I think not. So it's a career-ending exercise. So whoever did it is without honor. And if they come forward and say, you know, I had to do it, I felt like I needed to do it, well, that's fine, but their punishment is going to be working as something other than lawyering.
Well, you know what, but there's people out there that...
write a book and do it, you know, be a TEDx talker and all that.
Oh, yeah, you know, become a commentator on MSNBC. So.
Yeah, I think that, you know, I don't think anybody will ever trust them again. Yeah, this is one of those deals that, yeah, you're just not... Anything in the law, even broadcasting, they write their book for all they want, but I don't think anybody will buy it.
Well, you know, the thing on it is the the part about this was they had gotten together and they had, I guess, what do they, if I take a straw vote and then they go, okay, this is the opinion of the majority of the court. Then Alito wrote the opinion on it. But it doesn't. It's not the final opinion.
No, and usually you'll get a minority report as well. If it's a 5-4, you'll have some of the great decisions. You know, some of the great precedents in history were minority reports that then suddenly that became majority reports later as people began to think about it. So yeah. It's not over by any means.
No.
And we all know that. So.
No, it should be interesting. Okay, hey, Brando, thanks for adding that part to
you,
it.
Thank
because
yeah.
You're welcome.
The bottom line, later. Yeah, you bet. The bottom line on it is it's an egregious leak, and it has breached the confidence of the court. And he's right. You know, would somebody ever be hired after that? But some people just think they're above the law. Oh, this is so important. Well... But something else the Supreme Court did on Monday, they voted 9-0 that the city of Boston violated the First Amendment when it removed and censored a Christian flag in front of the city hall. They had allowed nearly 300 other flags from other groups, but had banned a Christian group from raising its flag, citing the Establishment Clause and inviting a lawsuit. Yeah, so 9-0. You don't see that many times in the Supreme Court. All right, got to take a quick break here. We'll be right back after these messages.
KCNR Shasta is also broadcasting at K243CT Reading.
Proven experience, fighting for you.
This is Stephanie Bridget, your Shasta County District Attorney. I've spent 2 decades fighting for your safety. I've personally prosecuted murderers, rapists, and child molesters, sending them to prison for life. I have met with and advocated for thousands of victims, giving them a voice against those that have harmed them. I am tough on crime and support a bigger jail. Vote for me, Stephanie Bridget, on June 7th.
Paid for by Stephanie Bridget for District Attorney 2022.
I'm Ed Rollman, a third-generation Shasta County native, business owner, and founder of the Merchants Crime Watch. District Attorney Stephanie Bridget has a 20-year proven record of fighting for the safety of Shasta County, including protecting local businesses from repeat offenders. That's why I support her re-election. We don't need someone like her opponent, a workers' comp lawyer with no experience who will need on-the-job training. Vote Stephanie Bridget for Shasta County District Attorney.
Paid for by Stephanie Bridget for District Attorney 2022.
Shasta County. There is a candidate in District 5 named Chris Kellstrom. Chris spent many years managing businesses in Anderson, Happy Valley, and elsewhere. Chris knows how to treat customers and employees. Chris would like to bring that experience and knowledge to Shasta County. Chris Kellstrom is not a career politician. He is a business manager and a problem solver. Shasta County is a great place to live, but we do have a few problems that need solutions. We can use a guy like Chris Kellstrom on our Board of Supervisors. Join me in voting for Chris. Paid for by the Liberty Committee. Not authorized being a candidate or candidate's Committee.
100 years ago, Simpson University began with a promise to be the gateway to world service. 30 years ago, we moved to Reading with a promise to serve the North State, graduating professionals who live and serve our growing community. Today, Simpson University continues to provide a Christ-centered education, graduating students with mature and infectious faith, critical competence, and a ready spirit to thrive as servant leaders around the world and at our backyard. Learn more about Reading's hometown university at simpsonu.edu.
Every Monday from 6 to 8 p.m., join us at Radio Wasteland, your local guide to the unexplained and the unknown. Each week, we cover all things unexplained, from the moving stars in the sky to the things that go bump in the night. Visit us as we explore these topics and more as our in-studio team digs deeper with featured guests and listener call-ins. Mondays are rough, but now your overworked brain has a chance for some sweet relief with Radio Wasteland.
Radio Wasteland, Mondays at 6 on KCNR.
Alan Gordon, Coach Master Collision. Although Coachmaster is recognized as the authority and specialist in frame and suspension, we are primarily your auto body and truck collision repair center. This includes all vehicles, Lexus, Honda, or pickup trucks. Our technicians are highly trained and have the most advanced equipment to ensure a complete and quality repair. With our knowledge and the insurance claim process, all we need is your claim number to handle your claim. Coachmaster has a great working relationship with all insurance companies. This ensures a complete repair with quality parts and a delay-free process. At Coachmaster, in our 50 years in business, we've experienced almost every situation imaginable in a claim. This experience and personal dedication to the repair of your vehicle sets Coachmaster apart from all other choices. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wayne Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
KCA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill we all have to pay? The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson State of Mind.
And good morning and welcome back to our morning show here, Carl and Linda Bott. 7:52, we ran over a little bit on the last break, so we're going to get right to it. This portion of the show is brought to you by Estate Granite. You've heard the name Mike Huber. In fact, he's working on a bathroom project right now with dear friends, and I saw the work, and oh my gosh, it's just beautiful, the work that has been done in their bathroom. So, anyway, any kind of, artistic, if you want to have your, granite or any kind of stone or tile work, Estate Granite, I would give him a call and make, an appointment. 241-STONE. Okay, also in the headlines.
Okay, this is great. First thing that, well, Jared always says hello to me, and he hugs me, which is really nice.
Aww.
Yeah.
Gonna miss that, buddy.
No, he didn't hug me. But we would, though. He says, did you hear what happened to Dave Chappelle? And, you know, I frankly, Dave Chappelle
we
makes
like Dave
me
Chappelle.
Laugh. He's infuriated.
He doesn't care.
He's infuriating, but he's funny. And then when you listen to what he says, you go, oh, yeah, that's him. Yeah.
I love that he's not politically correct and he doesn't care and he's coming from his.
He says you want
some of a tongue in cheek. I don't know. It doesn't matter. It's just he's brilliant. So he's doing a show at the Hollywood Bowl, according to this article I'm reading.
Yeah. Yeah.
And a guy. Okay, first of all, they do the all. How does this happen? They were told they had to leave cell phones. They couldn't have cell phones. I think they actually had to be. Not patted down.
No, they walk through a metal detector. Or they get wanded or something.
So this guy storms him on stage and had a gun and a knife.
Well, no, he had a fake gun that had a knife in it. You know, it was a fake gun, but there was a knife in it. But he assaulted Chappelle and security fought back. And as Jared, as you said, explain what you saw on the video.
Well, the guy that attacked him got put in the hospital.
Yep.
And his arm was backwards.
Yeah. So,
oh, you know who came to his rescue? Jamie Foxx. He rushed on stage to help apprehend the man going after Chappelle. And here's how quick Chappelle is. Whenever you're in trouble, Jamie Foxx will show up in a sheriff's hat, said the headliner by the way of thanks. I thought it was part of the show, Foxx is heard to respond. I grabbed the back of that head, and Chappelle, his hair was spongy.
His hair was spongy.
Later, the comedian sounded the note of both shock and levity, saying, I've been doing this for 35 years, and I just stomped backstage. I've always wanted to do that.
Well, you know, I guess Chris Rock came out on the stage afterwards, too, and said...
Was that Will Smith?
Was that Will Smith?
So here's what Fox said. Listen, I just want to say, this is to the crowd. This man is an absolute genius. We've got to make sure we protect him at all times. For every comedian who comes out here, this means everything. You're a genius. You're a legend. And we're not going to let nothing happen to you.
Well, here's the thing about Dave Chappelle. Dave Chappelle, when I saw one of his shows, he says, you know what terrifies me the most? And somebody in the crowd yells, Trump. He goes, no, Trump doesn't terrify me. You terrify me to the audience.
Yeah.
He says, because you can look at something that I did 15 years ago, 20 years ago, and cancel me, like you did my real good friend Kevin Hart. Mm-hmm. Remember when they canceled him because of something he had put in a humorous tweet, and they canceled him from being on the Oscar host. And Hart's funny, but comedians are paid to be take risk in the sense of things they say, how edgy they are, and all this. But Chappelle was very serious about it. He says you can end my career over something, a joke I made 20 years ago. And it's absolutely true that we get into this cancel culture. It's just absolutely horrendous because somebody might have done something or said something when they were 22. Gee, do you think things might have changed by the time they're 42 or 50? Yeah. Yeah, probably has. So that was interesting. He was so attacked on stage. And, you know, after Will Smith slapped Chris Rock, there were a lot of people that were a little concerned about it, that said, now we have a precedent.
Yes, yeah.
So, anyway. But anyway, the guy was put, the guy's in the hospital, and he's been charged with weapons charges and all that, because he did have the knife. I saw something yesterday, and I'll be real quick. A concealed carry class back east in a town back east, they're having a concealed carry class. Well, they find a guy that had come in during a break, and he was going through stuff. And they go, well, wait a minute, who are you? And the guy's going through, you know, like gun bags. And he had come in for God knows why. So, you know, as they were escorting him out, they had called the police. Well, here come the police, two police officers. This guy turns around. They, you know, he starts to run. The, you know, one of the police officers, a woman police officer grabs him, you know, and the other male police officer's coming around. And the guy knocks her down. The police officer, she gets up, and they're saying, you know, when he knocks her down, he has a screwdriver, and he stabs her. When he did that, and he gets up, and he comes back at him. Well, not only the police officers, but three of the employees of the store, all armed, started firing. The guy died at the scene, but the thought of coming into a concealed carry class and trying to steal a gun. I mean, where's your head? Now, in our classes, none of the students have guns in the classes. There's no guns in the class, or if they are, they're unloaded, that kind of thing. But still, yeah, weird. Our world's getting weirder. It's always been weird, but now it's weirder. Okay, we're going to take a break for the news, and when we come back, we have Reading Police Department with us. And Linda's question from earlier on, about Cypress, conditions of a homeless camp on Cypress Avenue is going to be addressed. We'll be right back after the news.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Rich Thomason. Wall Street awaiting word from the Fed. The Federal Reserve today expected to announce a significant hike in short-term interest rates to help fight inflation. What will it mean for consumers? Bankrate.com's Greg McBride.
Going forward, what we will see is variable rate debts, things like credit cards, home equity lines of credit, private student loans. Those rates will stair step higher in concert with the Federal Reserve.
And right now, stocks are mixed on Wall Street. Former President Trump batting 1,000. He endorsed almost two dozen candidates in the Republican primaries in Ohio and Indiana, and every one of those candidates won yesterday, and that includes in Ohio, where U.S. Senate candidate J.D. Vance defeated a half-dozen challengers.
Thanks to the president for everything, for endorsing me. And I got to say, a lot of the fake news media out there, and there are some good ones in the back there. There's some bad ones, too, let's be honest. But they wanted to write a story that this campaign would be the death of Donald Trump's America First agenda. Ladies and gentlemen, it ain't the death of the America First agenda.
Vance will face Democrat Congressman Tim Ryan in November, competing for the Senate seat held by retiring GOP Senator Rob Portman. Outraged by what he calls a betrayal, Supreme Court Chief Justice John Roberts directing the marshal of the court to investigate the leak of a draft opinion. While acknowledging the draft was authentic, Robert writes, it does not represent a decision by the court or the final position of any member on the issues in the case. Roberts insists the leak will not affect the court's operations. And watching Wall Street right now, the Dow is up 32 points, while the NASDAQ is down 158, and the S&P 14 points in the red. More on these stories at townhall.com.
I'm about to compare a pepper shaker to a cash-out refinance. Hang with me. You know when you're at a restaurant and they ask, would you like some fresh ground pepper? And then they crank that giant tube but almost nothing comes out? For me, only a certain amount of time is socially acceptable to wait. I know that getting that pepper out might make my life better, but it just seems too impossible. And that's what we hear people say about the cash-out refinance. People realize that the value of their home has gone up like hot pepper the last few years, leaving all this extra money sitting inside their home. But is it too hard to get out? It's Ryan from United Faith Mortgage. If you're interested in cashing out the extra pepper in your home, we're good at doing all the work while you just sit back and relax. And often, your mortgage payment and years in the loan will stay the same. If you'd like to hear about your options,
we are United Faith Mortgage.
United Faith Mortgage is a DBA United Mortgage Corp. 25 Meadow Park Road, Melville, New York. Licensed mortgage banker. For all licensing information, go to NMLS Consumer Access, federal or corporate NMLS number 1330, equal housing lender. Other license in Alaska, Hawaii, Georgia, North Dakota, South Dakota, or Utah.
A man convicted of killing the grandparents of a friend during a 1996 robbery has been put to death in Missouri.
Carmen Dex hopes for a reprieve from an execution were dashed on Monday when his appeal was turned aside by the U.S. Supreme Court and Missouri Governor Mike Parson declined his request for clemency. Dex knew his victims, James and Zelma Long, a DeSoto, Missouri couple in their late 60s, and told the detective he wasn't surprised that they invited him inside. Court records say Dex robbed the couple at gunpoint and then deliberated for 10 minutes before shooting them both in the back of the head. His death sentence was overturned three times between 1998 and 2017 over proceedings issues, but restored in 2020 by the 8th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals. Deck died by lethal injection at the state prison in Bon Terre and was pronounced at 6:10 p.m. Central Time. He was the fifth inmate executed in the U.S. this year. I'm Jennifer King.
News and analysis at townhall.com. When traveling abroad, people often bring home all kinds of souvenirs, but this, well, could be a bit much.
Most of the time, the souvenirs aren't okay, but if you show up at an airport with an artillery shell, be ready for a little resistance. That's what one American family learned when they tried to leave with an unexploded shell they found in the Golan Heights. Passengers ran and screamed as airport authorities sounded the alarm when they spotted the shell. Things did calm down once the shell was removed. One person was injured when he attempted to run on a conveyor belt. Jason Walker reporting.
Stand-up comedian Dave Chappelle tackled by a fan while he was on stage last night at LA's Hollywood Bowl.
Chappelle was okay, and the show did go on, but the attacker was dragged away by security and then carted off in an ambulance. More on these stories at townhall.com.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Uh-oh! Guess what day it is? Guess what day it is? Huh? Anybody?
Julie! Hey, guess what day it is?
Oh, come on, I know you can hear me!
Mike, what day is it, Mike? Leslie, guess what today is?
It's hump day.
Yeah, okay.
I'm sorry. Forever and ever, as long as we're on the air doing this show, we'll always do that.
Okay.
I laugh every time.
I know you
do. It's kind of like if you watch the same 100th rendition in a row of something from All in the Family or something. You're still going to laugh. Smokey and the Bandit, you're still going to laugh at, if you came from my loins.
I'm going to go home and slap your mama. There's no way you could have come from my loins.
It still cracks me up. I'm sorry.
Okay. Anyway. Hey, welcome back to Free Fire Radio here on the 4th of April. No, it's not. It's the 4th of May,
yeah.
2022. Yeah, I've lost a month again. 8:06 in the morning, news brought to you by Shasta Regional Medical Center, caring, compassion, community, and courage. Shasta Regional Medical Center, healing starts here. Liam's at the helm today. Jared's watching him. And good morning, Liam.
Good morning, guys.
Good morning, Liam.
How are you feeling up? How are you feeling being your voice is coming on and our millions of listeners throughout the world are, how do you feel?
It's a new experience for me. It's a new experience.
Okay, but you're a musician. You know what it is to be in the studio and do this kind of thing.
I mean, so. I've never, had my voice broadcasted live, I guess. So.
Ooh, okay. Well, welcome to the show, buddy.
Thank you.
Okay. What's the weather look like there?
All right. Looks like we're going to have about 89 today. Sunny day with increasing clouds tonight with overnight lows of 59. Thursday calls for a chance of showers with a high of 73 and overnight lows of 57 with showers. Friday showers likely with a high of 74. Friday night, 51. Saturday calls for a slight chance of showers, then 72. We love this weather. And Sunday, showers likely with 65. So keep those jackets and sweaters and rain gear still ready. The weather is brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane, locally owned, operated, senior and veteran discounts.
Okay. Going back to our last conversation about the Supreme Court leak, one of our listeners said last caller was correct. It had correct caller. They had all five names on it. So that was interesting. So, but again, it doesn't mean that one of them can't switch. And I think that's probably why the leaker leaked it, to see if they could put enough pressure on one of the justices to change their vote.
So, it's just outrage all over the internet today, including the vice president.
Well, the vice president and the president. I mean, anyway, let's go beyond that. We're here with Reading Police Department Sergeant Tim Renault. And good morning, Tim.
Good morning, guys.
How are you?
Great.
This is, the sergeant has an answer to something you've been saying about, talking about the Cypress Street car wash encampment. So it's all
good
your
morning,
sergeant.
And welcome to the show today.
Thank you for having me, guys.
Yeah.
Well, we came out into the lobby where you were, and you look, by the way, very strikingly handsome in your uniform.
Thank you.
Yeah, of course.
Thank God she saw me in my uniform.
I know, the first time we met.
So
shiny and together. So we talked about it in the lobby before you got on the show.
Oh, shiny and together.
All shiny
you know what
together.
You just did to him, right? Because there's other officers listening now.
This is going to cause a lot of
That's his new call sign.
Good. That's your new one. I like it. It's better than the last one of your famous calls. Mm-mm. So we're going to change that right away. Anyway, so we came out and said, you don't have to answer this on the air, but what do you think of what's happening with the bags and that problem. And you went, oh my gosh, I was just talking about this on the phone. Could you give our listeners an update?
Yeah, it's funny, just perfect timing. As I was pulling up here, I was talking to one of our officers, Officer Rhodes, who works with our community work program. And that's been a project that's been on the radar for quite a while. We had a lot of citizen complaints from that surrounding area. And that area is right at the car wash, kind of across from the police department on Locust. And
yeah,
people have been emailing us saying, hey, what are you guys going to do about this? Because anything that's illegal encampments within the city jurisdiction is usually falls upon the police department. That area is a little unusual because it's actually state property. It's right behind the Department of Fish and Game there, right on the Acid Canal. So it takes a lot more through the state to get the okay for Fish and Game to actually do enforcement and to actually have these people move out. And it's been months in the working, and it finally came yesterday that a hauling company went in there and they actually started cleaning the area. You see a lot of them being pushed south towards Cypress. And starting tomorrow, they're actually starting to put fencing up from pretty much Locust almost to Cypress. To enclose a lot of that area that is considered state property. So you'll see more people moving out of that area and hopefully find other areas to be.
Now, you said that to be able to move these camps that's on state property, it literally has to go to the governor's office.
Yeah, you know, this is something that's, I was running the neighborhood police unit, which mm-hmm. included the community work program for about 2.5 years. And we learned this. You see, driving on the highway, and you see tents right off the on ramps and off ramps, and people are like, go clean them up. Well, that's technically state property, and we don't take enforcement action there. So for the people to do that, they literally have to go to the governor's office and the people that work for Caltrans and some of these state agencies and petition to have these camps removed, and saying that their items in their camps could go on the highways and cause accidents and such, mm-hmm. and get the governor's okay to move them on and to clean up these areas. So it's quite a bit of work, and that's why it took them months to get that okay, and now you'll see a difference in that particular.
Well, you've already started seeing it.
Yeah, I have a question then. Okay, so because it would be not in my backyard, so now where, when you say move them on, I was sharing with our listeners that there was I think Chico has done some kind of, where do we put people who choose to be homeless or, in an environment where maybe there's a piece of property that's cleared out, they have porta potties, so it's sanitary. What are we doing in the Reading area? Like we say, move them on. Where are they moving on to?
Right. Well, I will say, when it comes to the one we were initially talking about, and again, we were there to lend assistance, but this is primarily the state that was out there. And they brought in, resources from the county and the mission, Good News Rescue Mission, to offer resources to get these people help and off the streets. And I don't believe any took those resources.
Mm-hmm.
So you're right. There's a lot that do choose this life. There are some, the small, tiny homes you hear that are little shelters that are going soon. It sounds like the mission might be starting with that, with Jonathan Anderson, might be taking that on and start kind of a pilot program to see how that works. And then they'll determine if that's going to go in churches, if we're going to do that. So it's still in the ground, the early phases of the development.
Well, you mentioned something earlier that I think our listeners need to hear, that there's an increment here of how you have to go. If it's on state property, you can't do anything. You can't even go over there and pick up a piece of trash.
Now, when it comes to state agencies, so Caltrans and CHP, they're supposed to leave them alone. We're a little bit different within the city, and I know the county has different sections. Like, we have the Reading Municipal Code section that enables us to clean up illegal encampments and people that are having fires and, certain RMC sections that we're allowed to enforce. So it's a little bit different when it's on state property, like you're talking about DMV or the state fund building or the highways. It's different laws and rules that go along with those areas.
And before we take a break, can we talk? I know Henderson Open Space, you're looking at me like, oh, God, let's open up that can. But it's a can that keeps filling up.
Right.
It's never emptied.
Yeah, that's a long, long conversation. I'm happy to talk about that one, too.
Okay, well, let's take a break first. And when we come back, let's talk, before we get started on that, about Sergeant Tim Renault and who you are and how you got there.
Great.
That's what we usually start, but we already had that.
We jumped right in.
We had hot.
Into the deep end.
Hey, this portion of the show brought to you by Four Winds Jewelry. Turn me off. There you go.
There we go. Well, that's the only training.
We're training. The only full-service jewelry store in Reading is Four Winds Jewelry. And you know what? They have a super selection of jewelry. Everything from estate jewelry to Native American and everything beyond and in between, including specially designed pieces of jewelry. All of this at Four Winds Jewelry. And they have really, really fair prices there, too. 2225 Hilltop Drive, open Monday through Friday, 9:30 to 4. We'll be right back with Sergeant Tim Renault.
Kevin Cry is running for Shasta County Supervisor to rebuild public trust in our local government. As a small business owner, Kevin Cry was appalled that many of our local businesses were deemed non-essential and were forced to close their doors while others were allowed to stay open for seemingly random reasons. Our leaders should have taken a stand for all our local business owners, but they remained silent. Kevin Cry will stand with all of us. Vote Kevin Cry for Shasta County Supervisor, District 1. Paid for by the Liberty Committee, not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
Hey, Shasta County, this is Chris Kallstrom, your Shasta County District 5 Supervisor candidate. In 2022, I hope we see some big changes, especially in our local politics. We've let career politicians and bureaucrats control our lives for far too long. I'm happy to say I am not a politician. I'm just a regular, red-blooded, hard-working, American-loving patriot who is tired of the same-o, same-o. I've worn the t-shirt for several years that says, "For evil to triumph, good men must do nothing." It's time for change, and this particular good man is going to do something. I'm Chris Kallstrom, and I look forward to earning your vote in 2022. You can reach me at 530-744-4539. Or go to chriskallstrom.com to learn more. I also have a Facebook page, which is Chris Kallstrom for Shasta County Board of Supervisors, District 5.
Paid for by the committee to elect Chris Kallstrom, Supervisor, District 5, 2022.
At Shasta Regional Medical Group, we're focused on the health matters that matter to you, like having a primary care doctor you trust. Our physicians put patients first. They take the time to listen to your needs and concerns, and they provide the information you need to make good decisions about your own health. At Shasta Regional Medical Group, you have an integrated network of caregivers and specialists working to serve you in a compassionate, patient-centered environment. We're conveniently located right across the street from Shasta Regional Medical Center. To make an appointment, call Shasta Regional Medical Group today at 605-4260 or visit us online at ShastaRegionalMedicalGroup.com. Shasta Regional Medical Group. Your primary care is our primary concern.
Remodeled kitchen, bathroom, or backyard patio? There's a lot of choices, but only one leader, Estate Granite.
Mike Huber has such a professional attitude and a can-do work ethic that makes him a joy to work with. Mike and his crew worked to have our new kitchen finished in 5 days. We came back to a true work of art.
Hi, this is Brian Salato, broker and co-owner of the Real Estate Group. In today's competitive market, I think what's important is that the house is dialed in and turnkey. And what's important is that the kitchen has been renovated, the bathrooms have been renovated, granite, beautiful cabinetry. Those things make a significant difference.
Mike at Estate Granite has an eye for detail, an attention to perfection, and a quality build crew that are masters of their craft. Mike was there from start to finish.
Hi, this is Mike from Estate Granite. I know how important quality to a homeowner is, so give me a call at 241-STONE or come by our showroom at 4900 Mountain Lakes Boulevard or visit us at EstateGranite.com.
Is Reading better off than it was 4 years ago? Absolutely not. Our local government has been asleep at the wheel for the past couple years, and we have been void of any effective leadership at the local level. This is why political outsider Kevin Cry is running for Shasta County Supervisor District 1 to help lead our community in the right direction. Shasta County has woken up, and we want change. Let's keep the momentum going and elect Kevin Cry to Shasta County Supervisor District 1. Paid for by the Liberty Committee, not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios of KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio with Carl and DeBott. This portion of the show brought to you by Maxwell Insurance and Financial. All your insurance and financial needs under one roof. Judy's been helping families, veterans, seniors, business owners, police, firemen, everybody since 1993. Are you going to have enough money with the way things are going to last you to the end of your term here on Earth? Well, if you want a second opinion on your retirement plans or 401ks, give Judy a call at 221-0441 for a free review and evaluation. It's always good to have somebody else take a look at what you're doing just to make sure that you're on the right track. Linda and I are here with Sergeant Tim Renault from the Reading Police Department. And Tim, we jumped into it earlier, but tell us a little bit about you. How did you get here? You weren't born and raised in Redding.
No, I got lost, I think, here, just like a lot of us. I actually started in the Bay Area where I grew up, born and raised down in Union City, which is outside of Fremont, San Jose area. I started law enforcement through the Explorer program when you're like 14 years old, doing that, trying to figure things out.
You knew kind of an early age this is something you'd like to do.
You know, I did. My brother's also a police officer in Mountain View out of Santa Clara County. My dad always wanted to be a police officer. He was in the military, and the gentleman across the street from us was an Oakland sergeant on motors. So nothing's cooler than to a little kid than an officer on a motorcycle. So we saw that every day, and we just got hooked. So we both got young. We got into law enforcement. I became, you know, graduated through high school, became loss prevention for railies, doing undercover security,
wow,
and getting shoplifters, which was an absolute blast, walking on in plain clothes, getting people stealing, and then got my way up to Redding. I got hired by the sheriff's office here in Shasta County as a correctional officer, working in the jail, did house arrest and work release, and then Antioch and Contra Costa County gave me an opportunity and put me through the academy in Pittsburgh in Contra Costa. I did a couple years in Antioch, and then at that time, it was Sergeant Roger Moore, and now then was our chief.
Yeah.
He recruited me in 06 to come back up here, and I've been here since then. And I worked, you know, a number of different assignments on patrol and field training officer on the SWAT team for 10 years, you know, sniper team leader. I went to investigations, did about 4 years there, and then started promoting up. And I'm working as an acting lieutenant, sergeant, but working as an acting lieutenant. I just finished a tour of the Special Services Unit, which is kind of a lot of the stuff we've been talking about. Now I'm doing field operations as a watch commander for patrol on the weekends. So it's been fun.
So when is it like in the Marine Corps when they fleet you up to a higher rank? Do they pay you?
They do pay you.
They do.
Yep.
Okay. Well, they didn't. Us. Yeah. You've got a captain. You've got a lieutenant colonel's job here. Do I get paid more?
Yeah, they laugh at you.
Well, I think it's really fantastic that you know, you got...
I think it's great.
You came into it as a kid, and some of the array of specialties and expertise that you have is really, I think, phenomenal. And this is what we love to be able to share with our listeners about. When you see these officers in their uniforms, know that there's a library of knowledge of what they do. That is a slap on a uniform. I mean, you think about that you did undercover work. That now, let's talk on a positive note, because we're going to go back to Henderson. But let's talk about why we're in this little bit of a love fest here. Let's talk about the bike program.
Yes. We're excited about the bike program. We've been talking about that. God, I think it's been probably a year that the city council approved. They want to have a downtown bike team with all the construction and the new businesses and
it's amazing.
Oh, yeah.
You've been here since 05, so I was like, boom, downtown just changed.
Huge. So the goal is to have four officers, probably 6 days a week, if not seven, patrolling our downtown area. So you'll see them on these electric assist bikes. It's a little bit of cheating because they go about 30 miles per hour.
I saw an officer, I'm not sure what his rank is, Denham, on it. And he came rolling through, and we talked to Trevor. We've known Trevor since, you know,
great guy,
before he was in the police department.
And, of course, his folks.
And with the electric bikes, it gives you a little burst of speed when
you need that. But anyway, so
that's because you're carrying more gear.
Is there a kickoff date for that?
I think what we're going to do is we're going to start two officers just because of manpower. I know you've had our administration coming in here talking about manpower shortage, and we're actually making huge steps right now with some of the academy stuff, and I could talk about that. But one of our first two guys is a school resource officer, so he needs to finish the school year, which is June 10th. So as soon as he finishes that, the following Monday, we're throwing him right on a bike and getting him started in the new unit. So we'll have two to start with, and two more will be coming probably, I would say, sometime in the summer.
Okay, now these are downtown. Are there going to be any assigned maybe in the future to the trails?
So what my vision was when I was the sergeant and the acting lieutenant of the neighborhood police unit, which encompasses the bike team, and I think Lieutenant Danny Smietak has taken over, who was an NPU sergeant also. I think we all have the same vision, is that they would be down to focus on the downtown area, but the river trails and the parks, they would encompass that as well. And the other thing important to me from my time here is Hilltop and Cypress area, too, because we have a lot of people that stop on Cypress and they go stay in our hotels and they get burglarized.
Or
their cars, you know, smashed or whatever. So we really need to clean that area up as well. So we have bike overtime with people that are bike trained through our department. You have to go through a course that on overtime basis they do patrol these areas, and we get a bunch of positive feedback. So I think when you have four officers out there, specifically doing that, and they'll be on bikes quite a bit, but they can also branch off to our, you know, all-terrain motorcycles and some other tools that we have.
You know, Sergeant, the fact is that an officer out of a car and on the streets, you know, they used to be walking the old beats and they just would walk them. I think it is a huge plus for our police department, because people can see them and can stop them and talk to them, which is, and you all stop and talk to a lot of people anyway. So,
and that's what my vision was when I talked to, when we interviewed, when we put out for the bike team, we had a large number of people put in showing they had interest in it. So then we do the interview process and then they get ranked. But that was one of the visions I had, is that once we get this team established, they'll be going to all the local downtown businesses and the business on the hilltop and introduce themselves and present their phone numbers to these businesses and people in the community, so they can call them. They'll have a face to the name and say, hey, I know you work these days and these times, and actually have someone to reach out to. And it'll be a quicker response time for some of those areas, because these officers are going to work out of our downtown substation, which is over on California Street, so their response times will be quickly to incidents.
They're right here. The response times have went, I mean, at one time it was something like 15 minutes response time. And the response times now are like, what, 7 minutes?
Yeah,
something like that?
I was going to say between 7 and 8. I'd have to get the statistics, but I think they dropped nearly in half.
Yeah.
And that's with having more officers on the streets. We're creating an eighth beat, an eighth area within the city, which will be an extra officer on the streets. We just had 4 academy students graduate Monday from Alameda County. So those guys are actually in a week training right now, so they'll be on the street soon.
Are they local guys or from someplace else?
I think one was a cadet, one's a local guy. He's actually one of our retired sergeant's son. Mm-hmm. Another one's a local. I don't know about the fourth one. So I think there's some local, younger people.
They come back home.
They do. I think everybody, if you're not from Redding, you want to come to Redding. If you're from there, you want to stay here. And that's, like, for me, I'm from the Bay Area, but once I, tasted Redding, I wanted to come here. I wanted to be here.
Well, you have... It's a different attitude toward police.
It is.
Here.
Coming from Antioch, which was, it was a rough community, and you didn't have a lot of support. You come here and every time you pull into a drive through to get a cup of coffee, you have people want to buy your coffee. And, oh, I got it. Everybody wants to say thank you and shake your hand and take pictures and have their kids, shake your hand and give you thumbs up. And it's a good feeling. And we have a huge support up here, which you don't see throughout the United States when you watch the news and see what's going on out there. We hire good officers. We have the support of our community, and not all the communities have that.
That should make a difference, especially on somebody that's doing a lat move, that they're in a spot where it's like, geez, and then, hey, you can come up here and take a look, and you've turned me off again. You've turned me off. Hey, you've turned me off. I'm off. Hello.
There we go.
Turn me on
right.
Again. Stop turning me off. I know. I wasn't even saying anything, political. I was just saying that, the people up here support our law enforcement. You're not going to get everybody, but I've seen you all in situations where it could have gone south quick, and it didn't. And I've seen people out there. I've seen the new programs that were started with the putting a mental health professional in your CERT program.
Yeah, the CERT, the Crisis Intervention Response Team. So that's
how has that worked?
It's been going great. So like you said, we have two of our police officers, Officer Kettle and Officer Snyder, that are assigned to that unit, and then we also have a mental health clinician, Nikki, that's also assigned, and she's from the county. So they work 4 days a week. They were usually about swing shift hours, and they're responding to any call where someone's in mental health crisis. So they're literally trying to find out, she can diagnose them, she can get them help, we can put them in treatment programs. They deal a lot with homeless veterans. They actually go out to the camps, and they can use some of the veterans' assistance there by getting them out of the home. We should take care of more than our veterans, and this has been very successful with that.
We've got a really strong veterans community here, and we do have the ability to, you know, to find housing for veterans and to do this. We're going to take a quick break here, this portion of the show. And speaking of that, Shasta Regional Medical Center started that ward where they put 5150s in. Are you familiar with that?
Yes.
Where the people that are danger to themselves or others can come down there, and they can keep them there legally for 72 hours while they try to get their meds under control. And if in severe cases, they can keep them for a week. In really severe cases, has to go to court, but they can keep them in there longer until they can get them into a facility. That's just one of the things that Shasta Regional Medical Center does that most people are not aware of. They have a lot of programs out there that they're rated number one in. I could go on and on and on about it, but starting next year, they're going to be a training hospital, and they're going to have up to 24 residents in their training at Shasta Regional Medical Center. And, you know, once they find out how great it is up here, we might have 24 new doctors. Yeah, I'm just saying we might. Shasta Regional Medical Center, healing starts here. We'll be right back.
The last 2 years revealed who politicians are truly loyal to. It wasn't we the people. True public servants are hard to find. That's why we need Eric Jensen at the helm as our district attorney. Eric is a patriot, a devoted father, an experienced attorney from the private industry. This means he isn't beholden to political cronies or government bureaucrats who will boldly fight for you. The current system has failed us, and Eric Jensen is the only non-establishment candidate for Shasta County District Attorney.
Paid for by the Liberty Committee, not authorized by any candidate. Or candidates committee.
Our summer tribute lineup will keep you cool all summer long with live music inside the Wind River Resort and Casino Event Center. From rock and roll classics to country to today's pop charts. Tickets are just $15 each plus fees. Purchase your tickets now at the River Club, WindRiver.com, or through our Wind River app. Must be 21 to attend. Find your moment at Wind River Resort and Casino.
Voter fraud is a hot topic these days, with certain voting machines at the center of the conversation. As voters, we need a voting system we can trust. Our current county clerk believes these leased voting machines are trustworthy and plans to use them for the next 5 years. We need a new county clerk that will work to replace these machines with one of 8 California-approved alternatives. Vote Bob Holsinger for Shasta County Clerk on June 7th. Paid for by the Liberty Committee, not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee.
Shasta County, are you ready for something real special? Mary's Pizza Shack has some changes. We're now Charlie's Tap House, and the Tap House rule number one is come in for the homemade pizzas, pastas, and other house-made specialties, and stay for the beer wall.
Mary's Pizza Shack is now Charlie's Tap House, pizza, pasta, grill. Same family owners and same homemade recipes. Plus, a few more you'll want to try for yourself. Friday nights, try our special hand-cut prime rib for just $28 with all the fixings. And all week, you can enjoy surf and turf or salmon and polenta.
Don't miss Shasta County's premier tap beer wall with your favorite beers on demand that you can order by the ounce. Try our new house beer collaboration with Woody's Brewing, Flippin' Hazy. Your taste buds will thank you. And when you sign up for our Tap House Rewards program, you'll automatically get $5 off towards your next order. Remember, our vibe is casual. The atmosphere is social.
Order online at charlews.com. That's charlews.com.
Hi, this is Judy Maxwell. Life can happen in an instant. Sometimes you plan for it, like retirement or taking care of your family. Sometimes it's a surprise, like a winter storm with home or property damage. Sometimes it may be an unexpected accident or illness or even a premature death. Whatever life throws at you, you'll wish you had gotten the right insurance when you had the chance. That's where Maxwell Insurance can help. For more than a quarter century, we've been serving the North State because it's our home, too. Give us a call at 221-0441 to let us help you review your policies and prepare you for whatever your future holds. Maxwell Insurance, 1378 Hilltop Drive, 221-0441.
The last 2 years revealed who politicians are truly loyal to. It wasn't we, the people. True, public servants are hard to find. That's why we need Eric Jensen at the helm as our district attorney. Eric is a patriot, a devoted father, and experienced attorney from the private sector. This means he isn't beholden to political cronies or government bureaucrats. He will boldly fight for you. The current system has failed us, and Eric Jensen is the only non-establishment candidate for Shasta County District Attorney. Paid for by the Liberty Committee, not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios at KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio, with Carl and Linda Bott. We're on Monday through Friday, 7 to 9 AM. And this portion of the show brought to you by Cypress Square Barbershop, a veteran-owned business that I've been going to since I moved to Redding because I've always had great haircuts there and great people, and so why change? They give discounts for seniors and veterans. They work by appointments. So give them a call at 244-9478. That way you don't. I mean, I did kind of enjoy him going down and get a haircut. And then you sit around for like 10 or 15 minutes and waiting, but sometimes it was longer. So this is kind of cool. I like it. You come in, get your haircut, and you can leave. Man's Last Stronghold is Cypress Square Barbershop.
And it's currently 68 degrees in the downtown studios. Looks like we're going to have around 90 degrees today, so be prepared for
that.
Stand
by, horse.
Yeah.
It's going to be a warm day.
With us this morning is our Sergeant Renault from our Redding Police Department. You know, we've got some great things. We covered what was happening there with the removal of some of the trash. You mentioned a company earlier, out in the lobby earlier today, a company that comes in and does this work.
Yeah, Gables Holland is one that does. It's a big company that's able to clean up some of these large encampments, and they do a bunch of different stuff out there also. Yeah, with Alex.
Are they contracted by? Okay, that's cool. I mean,
well, we have local groups though,
and that's Gables is a local company, so that it sounds like the state got Gables to go do some of their cleanups. When we have the large cleanups at private companies, private property, Gables will come in and do that. We do our own cleanups through the city when we have stuff on city property.
But isn't there a group here in town that used to go out and, I mean, they're all volunteers, would go in and clean out tons of stuff?
You know, United Shasta's been a
United
huge help.
Shasta.
Yeah, they do,
right.
They do a lot of help when it comes for Henderson or Near Palm Open Space. Behind, you know, the old railway.
Well, let's talk about.
Let's
talk that one. That was a good segue.
We segue into the Henderson Open Space.
Or
we've got
New Palm, as it's called now. Okay.
Really?
Yep. Yeah, they changed the name of it. It's actually formerly Henderson Open Space. Now it's New Palm, which is like Salmon Run.
Yeah. So in Wintu, I believe.
I thought it was like the guy who said, "I love the smell of."
No, not
napalm.
Yeah. That's what I was. Probably people would like to see it napalm. Anyway, sorry. It's not funny.
He's not agreeing. He's not agreeing with what you just said.
I thought, you know, they've dubbed it that. Okay.
Near Palm has been a problem for years. We've had their residents on. We have talked to city council directly, looked them in the eyes. This has been a problem for a long time. So what's going on now?
Yeah, that's definitely been one of our most challenging ones. I think when I got into the neighborhood police unit, that was one of the projects. They said, all right, we need to clean this up. We knew they were getting ready to start the new project there by cutting kind of a stream right through the middle of it for Salmon Run. So we've moved them out. We've moved the illegal encampments out of there multiple times, and, I mean, hundreds of thousands of pounds of trash, and we've tried a number of different things. The most current thing that we're going with is – they're going to be, Dignity Health owns that property right next to the south side of Cypress Street Bridge. They're actually paying for some fencing. The fencing will go from pretty much the Cypress Street Bridge all the way to behind the houses over on Henderson. So the city is helping them put the fencing in, so that'll actually prohibit people from going in there unless it's regular park hours. So someone will actually open the gates up and let people enjoy that entire area. So once those are up, then you'll see probably some of that area clean up because we want people to feel safe. It's a beautiful area if you haven't been out there to be able to walk around. Yeah. And
it is beautiful out there, but, you know, the people that live there, I mean, these, it's gotten, you know, they're having sex in their backyards. They're stealing everything there. They're breaking through fences. And they don't even pick up the trash. And, like, I mean, if they wanted to, they could put it in bags and put it alongside the street, and it's picked up.
Yeah, we're lucky that United Shasta, like you said, and Pam that works in that area helps a lot and goes through that area two or three times a week. But we've even put large, you know, cubic dumpsters out there hoping that people will just empty their trash, and all they do is just pull it back out and make more of a mess. So it's been challenging because a lot of that area has been victims of theft. They'll steal stuff off their patios and then dump it into the river. And so it's a very concerning area because we have a lot of boating that come through. They're doing the fishing guided tours and stuff like that. And we want to keep that area looking good. And if you haven't been there, it's unbelievable. You'll enjoy it.
Okay. So, fencing, that's, you know what? I know what we've said. We don't want to become a city of fences. However, if we have to fence something off till, you know, we can get it all under control, then let's just do that so people can enjoy it, so you don't feel like it's a danger walking down, you know, back there.
And that's what I think, that we're all kind of scratching our heads trying to find out the best solution. The fencing is one of them. The next one that's going to be, I think, is going to be a huge asset is going to be the Park Ranger program. I think maybe Chief Schuler might have talked about it before. But as we get our numbers up with on patrol, they're going to branch out and have four park rangers, and those probably that Nurpon open space will be one of those areas that they will be patrolling on a daily basis along with all of our other parks, because we want people to feel safe going in our park areas, the river trails. So these four officers will be on bikes and on vehicles to go into the parks and enforce some of the Reading Municipal Codes in those areas.
So what do you think about having a mounted patrol on horses?
I like it.
I know you would. Yeah,
I think it would be so cool. And that might be also / volunteer.
Yeah, I know there's a lot of cities that do have them. They use them for a number of different things. I don't know that we'll ever get that.
No, but, tell you what, when you bring up the horses, the cost on it probably means it's going to cost you an officer too. You know, right. Even if they keep the horses in their own places and all these things, that's the one thing is the cost to it. But going back to our crime problem that we have,
we'll work do for we, feed.
I asked the DA Tuesday yesterday. It seems to me, and it's purely anecdotal, we're getting more violent. And she went back and she says it depends. It seems like it depends on the year. One year we'll have 6. Next year we'll have 11 homicides. We had 16 because those were cold cases that they were able to get into. What's the feeling on the street? Is it more violent out there?
You know, it's funny you said that, because I was talking to one of our stat guy, we call him Mike, and I was asking about some of the stats that have been going on. And I would definitely look in our social media later. Probably next week we're going to release all the crime stats. We have some unusual numbers.
That's the Facebook page, right?
Right.
Okay. Which I've been on this morning, but you have to be careful not to keep looking at all the pictures.
I think that the tough thing is when you compare some of the stats for like 2020 to 21, you had that COVID lockdown time, so some of the numbers, they'll show like our stolen vehicle numbers dropped really hard, and we're back up to like 500, which is where we usually hover. So some of our numbers are
500
down
a year.
Yeah. Yeah. So our numbers are on that are back up because you're going from like 200 to 500. But I think overall the, you know, crime is down, like 6% is what I'm looking at some numbers here from 2020 to 2021. But then you do have like increases, like I said, with the stolen vehicles, and a lot of that was probably because people were locked down at home. They're around their vehicles.
Well, yeah, people were staying at home, so you had less people breaking into homes and all this. Okay, well, the bottom line, Chief Schuler said one time, you give me a jail big enough, and I'll cut crime well over 50%.
Right, and I think that's always a struggle for us, and it's nothing to do with the sheriff's office. I mean, they're frustrated too. We'd like to have a jail that, you know, you can actually house people. It's tough when our officers on the streets work hard. They take someone to jail, and usually it's a one-for-one. If they stay, someone has to go. And, you know, with the way some of the laws have changed, we have a lot of violent people in there that should be doing time in prison but are now housed locally, and we can't send them out, so you're taking somebody out to the streets, and it's a tough one.
Okay, hey, we're here with Sergeant Tim Renault, who is you're in charge of a lot of different things here, but we've been talking about the cleanups in areas. We've been talking about our bike patrols branching out. We've been talking about how our recruiting is really doing well, that we're going to be able to expand even probably larger than we were pre-2007, and in today's climate, that's good because now our response times have been cut in half. And I can tell you, somebody else gave me an example. They saw somebody wandering down the street being crazy and called, and within just a couple of minutes, here came an officer there to help take care of that. So We're going to take a quick break, and we're going to be right back.
As a mother of two young children and small business owner in Shasta County, if Brian Caples is not elected superintendent of schools on June 7th, we will move out of Shasta County. We need a superintendent of schools who will stand up for our kids and help parents and teachers oppose the invasive state mandates and vaccines. Dr. Brian Caples is more than qualified to be our Shasta County superintendent of schools, and he has this mom's vote. Paid for by the Liberty Committee, not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
Hello, Shasta County. My name is Chris Kellstrom, and I'm running for District 5 Supervisor. I am not a career politician, nor do I ever want to be. In fact, when I'm elected, I will immediately push for term limits for the Shasta County Board, the current board, as well as future boards. County politics should not be a career move. Overseeing a safe, frugal, friendly, and efficient county government should be seen as a civic duty, not a decades-long employment strategy. A vote for Chris Kellstrom is a vote for term limits and a more efficient, friendly county government. This ad paid for by the committee to elect Chris Kellstrom, Shasta County Supervisor, District 5. Hey, Shasta County, Chris Kellstrom here, your District 5 candidate. Money is important in today's elections, and I'm happy to report that I have raised more money than any other candidate in Shasta County, and all without a single maximum amount contribution. I've been supported by a grassroots We the People group of friends and family, and I thank each and every one of them. We the People is exactly who I will answer to. Please remember Chris Kellstrom when it's time to vote this June. I will represent the people, not big donors and special interest groups. This ad paid for by the committee to elect Chris Kellstrom, District 5 Supervisor.
Sometimes it's hard to know who to vote for Shasta County Supervisor, District 5. But this time, the choice is clear. Chris Kellstrom resides in Cottonwood and is a Shasta County native who believes in faith, family, and the Constitution. Chris Kellstrom is not a politician and will not raise your taxes to solve your problems. And at 6'9", he really is head and shoulders above the rest. Paid for by the Liberty Committee, not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
At Shasta Regional Medical Group, we're focused on the health matters that matter to you, like having a primary care doctor you trust. Our physicians put patients first. They take the time to listen to your needs and concerns, and they provide the information you need to make good decisions about your own health. At Shasta Regional Medical Group, you have an integrated network of caregivers and specialists working to serve you in a compassionate, patient-centered environment. We're conveniently located right across the street from Shasta Regional Medical Center. To make an appointment, call Shasta Regional Medical Group today at 605-4260 or visit us online at ShastaRegionalMedicalGroup.com. Shasta Regional Medical Group. Your primary care is our primary concern.
Everyone should feel safe in Shasta County, period. This is Baron Browning. Being a father and a Marine, and the mayor of Anderson has taught me that effective leadership comes from the willingness to put your own agenda aside and communicate with everyone. The people of Anderson did just that, and together we've made it one of the greatest and safest communities to live in. Let's make sure that all of our public safety personnel are not hamstrung with low funding and staffing by providing them the resources needed to keep our community safe. Vote Baron Browning for Shasta County Supervisor, District 5.
Paid for by the committee to elect Baron Browning for Supervisor 2022.
I support Brian Caples because in a two-week span in 2021, over 3,000 students were quarantined for 10 days. How many quarantined students contracted COVID? This is unknown because current leadership didn't press public health to report accurate contact tracing in schools. Instead, repeated quarantines and learning loss continued. We need leadership to ask tough questions and enact change for our students. Vote Brian Caples on June 7th for Superintendent of Shasta County Schools. Paid for by the Liberty Committee, not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee.
Hey, welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios at KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio with Carl and DeBott. Tomorrow, Trish Clark joins me, and we have with us Chris Kellstrom is going to join us tomorrow morning. Candidate for supervisor, 5th District, and he'll be on at 7 o'clock, and then I've got another guest at 8 o'clock that I will – it'll come back to me here in a minute. But Chris is going to be on at 7 o'clock. We're trying to get all of our candidates on. Friday will be Congressman LaMalfa will be on Friday as his usual time. Next week, Aaron Reznor, Barron Browning, and more. So during this month, we're going to try and have every one of the candidates on, reaching out to all of them. But with us today is Sergeant Tim Renault, who a member of the Reading Police Department. We've talked about the NUPAR, used to be formerly known as Henderson Open Spaces, down there in Cypress Avenue, moving all that around and the problems with that being state land. Our bicycle patrol, our recruiting efforts that have done well. What's next on your list, Sergeant?
You know, like I said, we're lucky with this recruiting. It's been going good. Having the four that just came out of Alameda, we have three more that we're sending to Sacramento and two coming out of Butte. So I think our numbers, we're doing really good with that. I mean, we just made it through a really good Cool Open Lights weekend. I think it was a success. And now our teams are just gearing up, getting ready for the rodeo, which is going to be several days of excitement.
Okay, I'm involved with that now. Reading Rodeo Association. What are some of the concerns you have? I mean, we just went through Cool April Nights. So did that take a kind of a surge?
Yeah, I think Cool April Nights was great. I think they said 1,900 participants. Vehicles. I mean, yeah. I mean, this is the first year, and I've been up here for quite a while that I didn't work it, and I was actually a part of it. I actually had a truck that drove in there with my kids and went to the show. So it was cool to see it from that aspect of it. It was a huge success. You know, when you have large scales of events like this with people, just making sure safety is there and all the safety protocols are in place. So if anything ever happened, we're prepared for it. And the same thing with the rodeo. We're going to have a lot of people. It's going to be a huge.
It's a different crowd.
It's definitely a different crowd. So I've been tasked with being in charge of that one from Wednesday through Saturday. So I get to be at all the rodeos.
So you're in charge of that then.
Yeah. What they do is all the special events we have through the city when it comes to the Christmas parade and Big Bike Weekend and the rodeo and, 4th of July, each lieutenant gets one of those events. So the one that I have is the rodeo. So it's exciting. It's a good event. I know it's going to be huge this year. So just
it is going to be huge.
We started working on
four days.
We started working on it about 3 or 4 weeks ago for the law enforcement side of it. So it's going to be all the way up until the day of. You know, it's going to be a lot of work.
Well, the state feed starts next week.
All right, let's get it going.
It's there. it's here. And then the amount of work that's put in by everybody, the police, the members of the Reading Rodeo Association, Asphalt Cowboys. This is one of the top rodeos in the United States, so we get a lot of people that show up here.
Yeah, we've been hearing a lot. We've been going to meetings already. Members of the traffic division and the special services already just trying to prep and just the exit plans and entrance plans and, you know, any type of emergency, how we would handle them. And it's going to be big. So parking is obviously always an issue. So we're trying to get that all worked out and shuttling people. And so there's a lot of stuff behind the scenes that goes into it.
People end up parking on the other side of 44.
Yeah, I heard that they're going to try to find, have people in the old Big Lots parking lot out there and shuttling people in. So that's good. I mean, that helps the economy. It helps bring people to Reading.
Oh, my gosh. It's the second largest moneymaker for Reading after Cool April Nights.
Yeah, I believe it. And Cool April Nights, like I said, we were excited about that. We knew this was probably going to be one of the biggest ones, and it was a huge success by everybody we talked to. So we were excited.
Now, we also have a Big Bike Weekend, which is smaller. But from what I've gathered over the years, Big Bike Weekend, there's never been like this arms open, we want to make this huge type thing.
You know, it's went through different phases. We used to have it directly right in, you know, the center of Hilltop and Industrial Mistletoe. And then, you know, they've moved it out to the county, and we have little parts that go through the city. So I don't know what it's going to look like this year yet. I haven't been part of that one. So it'll be interesting to see. But having a lot of motorcycles in October, it's always a good time.
Do you have something for our, because I need to run and check something.
Oh, okay. Well, let's talk about something. That's great stuff. All right. Let's talk about what is the thing right now for you, Sergeant Renault, that would be like, you know, something you've sinking your teeth in, that's a project that you're really excited about. We talked about the bikes. And we know that you've got your fingers in various things, but like, what is like, wow, I'm just really stoked about this.
Well, I like to say, I think we've been fortunate that we're finally getting staffing, and that's been the big thing, is that we've been kind of putting just plugging holes for a long time, and to finally have a full NPU unit. We've been running two guys. Now we actually have four officers in there for the first time, and it's been, God, it's probably been a year and a half.
Did you say NPU?
Yeah, the Neighborhood Police Unit.
Okay, thank you.
So we have four officers in there. We finally have a full community work program. Our bike team will have two people, so we're almost going to be full staff there. And then our we talked about Trevor Denham. You were talking about him. He's going to go into our motor unit, so we finally get our motors up. So I think the morale on the department is up when you're starting to see people out there. We have a bunch of new officers that are excited to get in there. And it's having that called the young blood that's excited to do the job again. It kind of re-energizes everybody. So it's been a good thing going.
All right. Okay, thank you, Jimmy. Jimmy, let's go to the phones or a caller. Do you have a question or a comment for our...
Yeah, I got a quick question, two quick questions, and I'll take my answer off the air. Number one is our beloved news media or television stations here are not covering the closure of Susanville Prison. How does your guest think that's going to affect crime in this area? And number two, the other thing our beloved media is not covering very much is the debacle on the border, and has he seen an influx of illegal or undocumented aliens in this area, and the increase in fentanyl and other drugs? And that's all I have to say. Thank you.
Okay, Jimmy, thanks. First question is, do we think it's going to have a big impact on us, the Susanville being closed, which, of course, is in itself a travesty. And the second is, with the border being wide open, or what kind of impact is that having on us right here?
Well, we haven't seen an increase when it comes to illegals in our area. I will say fentanyl. He did mention something about fentanyl. That has been
drugs.
a huge increase.
Really?
And yeah, if you kind of follow some of our Facebook, you'll see with some of the great work that patrol and the neighborhood policing have been doing, getting a ton of fentanyl off the streets, because we know just a fraction of a pinch of that is deadly. So,
okay, so how does that look? Can you just share with us, if you don't mind, just a little sidebar there with the fentanyl? Is it coming? Is it a pill? I mean, I don't know. I've not seen it.
Yeah,
so
we're seeing in like kind of chunks where they break them off.
Smoke it, or?
Yeah, there's a number of different ways. But yeah, we're seeing people smoking that, any type of inhale it. Yeah, it's very, very, very deadly, and we're seeing an increase of deaths in our community because of it. And that's just not here. It's everywhere. It's very deadly, and it's very addicting.
Well, the DA has actually got a murder charge against a guy who gave a fentanyl pill, knew it was fentanyl, pure fentanyl, to a 13-year-old.
Yeah.
Correct.
Are we seeing, and it seems like fentanyl is being added to heroin and everything else because it's even more addictive.
Right. Correct.
We were looking at some of the pictures earlier on the Facebook, the Reading Police Department Facebook, and I said, look at this girl who looks like she's so pretty, and it said violent. Something with the dog next to it. I was what? You know, it doesn't make sense. So you were saying that some of these young girls are getting really addicted to.
Right. I think a lot, that's the problem. It's not just girls, it's anybody in general. I mean, these drugs that are out there now are so addicting with the meth and heroin and fentanyl that at a young age they're getting addicted to, and it's very difficult to get off of it. And in order to not come down from that high so they don't get sick, they continue to use it. And with that comes, I need to steal in order to get money to buy this. And that's where we're seeing our thefts rise. And we see the violence that comes with it because they do not want to get sick. So they are becoming violent toward officers or people in the community. So it's very concerning overall.
We're here with Sergeant Tim Renault. And you've just been a fountain of information.
Absolutely.
Today, Sergeant. We really appreciate you being here.
Did we answer Jimmy's questions? He asked
about
the border.
He asked about Susanville.
And Susanville.
You know, when they shut down Susanville, what kind of impact could that have?
Yeah, you know, that's a good question. I mean, I think it may be a little bit more toward the sheriff's office if we're going to take an influx of people there, or where they're going to be putting people. We do have a lot of people that get kind of brought over to our community and with probation and parole to try to monitor them. So I don't know what that's going to look like yet, but it's definitely something we need to be prepared for.
Are we getting people just dropped off here?
In what regards?
Well, homeless, criminals? Do we have, I mean, is there like a van that, you know, here's the urban myth around here. There's a van that shows up around here and just drops off people from other areas.
You know, I've heard that. I've never seen that. And that's something that I think all the law enforcement, we try not to get involved with that. People have said, why don't you just, you know, bus people over here. Or bus people over there. We don't want them sending people over to our area.
I was going to say, let's send two busloads to L.A., and then L.A. sends back 12.
Right.
You know, we don't want to get started.
We don't want to get in one of those things at all. But we do, if we do send anybody on some type of bus, like a homeward-bound program, we make sure there's someone to receive them on the other end that's willing to take on that responsibility of whoever is being busted. We haven't done those in a little while, though.
Okay. Well, thank you for your service and all of that. You know, it's just been really wonderful to have you on this morning.
It. Tomorrow, Doug Jenke, that's the name I was trying to think of, a well-known conservative commentator. And, of course, Chris Kellstrom will be joining us tomorrow.